All right, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, our MLB insider, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm hanging in there, guys. I'm hanging in there. Yeah, how are you?
We're all hanging in there, Buster. What's the latest? First of all, how do you feel about if they're going to get something done, and what's the latest proposal going on there?
Oh, as I did in the podcast today, I feel like you got to play, every time we talk about baseball now, you got to play the sound of Benny Hill. Okay? The theme song for Benny Hill in the background.
Yes.
With the circus music.
Yes.
Which I won't replicate for your ears. But it basically, I mean, it's just, it's appalling. You know, in short, you know, the players are saying they want an 89-game schedule and they want full pay, and the owners are saying we're not going to come close to that. We can't pay you full pay, and so they're still far apart. It remains a possibility that at some point baseball could either implement and ram a plan down the players' throat. I think
right.
It's more likely at some point that they make, you know, some concession to say 65 or 70 games. And we're now, 3 months into this? And no
wow.
matter whether they come up with a deal at the end of this week or sometime early next week, the bottom line is that baseball's already squandered the moment.
Mm.
They're not going to have the stage to themselves in the beginning of July,
right.
The Sporting World stage in the beginning of July in the way that they would have. And I think they've turned off a lot of fans. And I think the damage to the sport is going to be lasting. And on top of that, here's the larger issue is that even, you know, after all these weeks and weeks and weeks of talks and something not being productive, even if they come up with an agreement, I think we're going to be right back in the same spot next year waiting
wow.
for these two sides to resolve their issues. There just has been, in my opinion, an incredible lack of leadership on both sides.
All right, I'll come at this with a glass 1% full on this question. Is
okay.
there something positive about the fact that the sides have gone from meeting once a month to once a week, seemingly now with a new proposal every day?
Oh, I guess, yeah. But I feel like when I did a SportsCenter the other day, they said, you know, when does the deal need to be done? You know, when's the true deadline? And I said 3 weeks ago. Mm. I've been shocked by the lack of urgency. Look, when the week began, I thought the owners would come in aggressive with the offer that would be out in the middle of the middle ground, something designed to basically end the crisis and get baseball back on the field. But, you know, what we've seen with the owners is, what I'm going to write about this weekend, is that they have fallen into Houston Astros syndrome, which is to look for every little bit of inefficiency and look for every bit of advantage, whether it's service time manipulation or tanking or ultra next level sign stealing, or, you know, letting go of scouting staff, or, you know, all these things where the focus is on trying to get the absolute edge, and meanwhile the house is burning down. and I that's why I said I feel like there's a complete lack of leadership, because someone who's, you know, big picture would be overseeing this and have some leadership would say, hey, we got to get this solved. Because the sport is being damaged hour by hour when every show now starts, well, in baseball,
nothing.
Because they're the outlier at this point.
Buster, what percentage of players do you think are really into the weeds and understanding and vocal about this? Is it just the player rep for every team? Is it every player on every team? Is it 10% of players? How many of them are really, really aggressively involved in this?
In terms of understanding every bit of it, I think the percentage is far less than what it was in the mid-90s. You know, in the last week I've had conversations with some retired players who've talked about that now that they're working on staffs. But I would say this, because of that very incremental approach that we've seen from the owners, and I've heard this from agents, the players are more galvanized now around this whole issue of getting full salary than they've been around a lot of things in a long time. Now, I do think the players, you know, leadership has made a lot of mistakes to get to this moment, but in this moment, there's no question the players are galvanized around the idea of getting full salary.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. It's easy to get lost in all the math here. You tweeted out, Jeff Passan tweets it out, I'm getting confused as hell about this. Are the owners essentially offering the exact same thing every time, just in different ways?
Not exactly, but it's like if you were to think about jumping into a pool, rather than putting the tip of your big toe in the water, it's like putting the knuckle and the tip of your big toe in the water. That's how slow this crawl has been. And as I say, it's at a time when the sport is burning. You know, the comparison I made on SportsCenter midday today was that it's as if in this moment, like, the house is burning down for the entire product, and the two sides are arguing about who's going to get the hose.
Yeah.
Like, somebody grab the hose. Somebody fix the problem, because they are losing ground by the minute.
But the whole part is, the Cubs owner, Tom Ricketts, and Bill DeWitt Jr., what, the Cardinals owner, they said baseball's not even very profitable. Am I missing something here?
Right. Well, let me just put it to you this way.
Yeah.
George Steinbrenner bought the Yankees in 1973, and his personal original investment in that was $700,000. Now, his family's share of that of the Yankees is probably worth over $3 billion.
Wow.
I think the owners are doing okay. when Bill DeWitt said that yesterday, it was the same thing I felt when, you know, Tom Ricketts talked last week where...
Yeah.
40 million people out of jobs, so many lives lost, everything that's gone on since George Floyd was killed in this country, and you have owners talking about cash flow problems, billionaires talking about cash flow problems. We had a fan came on our podcast yesterday and put this, and he's a math teacher, and he put it in terms that I think would really underscore exactly how wealthy these guys are. He asked me, he said, how long do you think it takes to get to... and I'm trying to remember the number used. A million seconds. How long does it take to get to a million seconds? And the answer is 11 days, okay? How long does it take to get to a billion seconds? The difference between, effectively, he's trying to demonstrate the difference between a ball player making $1 million and an owner making $1 billion. It would take 31 years.
Wow. Wow.
To
wow.
get to a billion seconds. And that's why I felt at the beginning of the week it had to be the owners who stepped out. And what's mind-boggling to me is not only, is the house burning and you want to react appropriately, but guys, they have two major television deals that are set to expire next year. They have to work out something with my company, ESPN. They have to work out something with TBS. And it feels like by the day that their product is losing value. And that's why you think at some point somebody would step in and say, look, we just have to stop the hemorrhaging and to start to rebuild here, and they're not close to doing that.
Do you think the owners and the players, but especially the owners, are listening to people like this? I mean, say, and I know they're not, but say some owner of John Henry's listening to this show, vacationing in Stowe as we speak, and says, well, maybe we should start thinking like these guys are talking. I mean, do you feel like any of this is getting through to the players or the other side?
I do think that, and I'd say this about, you know, any group of people, that, you know, the vast majority of people are really great. Like, the players, when you talk to players individually, they get it. I can't give this player's name, but he's been talking to me throughout this process. Both of his parents were recently diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
He's really concerned about being in a room with a group of players, possibly being exposed to coronavirus, and then putting his parents at greater exposure when he would subsequently be around them. He gets it. You know, this is not someone who's made a lot of money. I think the players, the rank and file, absolutely get it. I think on team management, they absolutely get it. They're appalled when they hear the stories about owners, you know, like John Fisher of the Athletics, who, you know, worth, again, billions of dollars,
yep.
And his big move was to cut minor league salaries. The Lerner family, the richest ownership in baseball, worth over $5 billion, and they moved to cut their minor leaguer salaries from $400 to $300 a week.
Mm.
Think about that, okay? But I do think that the vast majority of people understand how bad of a look this has been for baseball along.
Buster, in the NFL lockout season of 2011, Robert Kraft stepped up and started to cross the party lines to help get a deal done. Is there an owner in baseball? Is it a Steinbrenner? Is it John Henry? Is there somebody that has big enough clout in the sport that can go and be that person who's the catalyst to get to the middle?
I can't identify who that person would be. You know, there might be behind the scenes. As you guys know, the relationship, for example, between the Red Sox and the commissioner's office has not always been good.
Right.
John Henry, for example. But Bill DeWitt is perceived by a lot of people in the game as being the most powerful owner. You know, that he is the patron saint of Rob Manfred as the commissioner. And so there was a special significance to yesterday when we heard Bill DeWitt say that, because he carries a lot of starch.
Right, right.
And despite everything we've talked about, like, no one wants to hear about this stuff out loud, he's out there talking about cash flow issues and franchise and you know, where the franchises sit in the fact that in his eyes they don't make that much profit.
Buster, I know in the whole time I've been talking to you, you've never been much of a draft guy. The Major League Baseball draft starts tonight. Because nothing else is going on, are you into the draft this year?
No. you know, I not no, because first off, we have Kylie McDaniel as our lead guy on that for ESPN, and he's great at that stuff. And on top of that, I got to tell you that when I heard that Major League Baseball cut the draft to five rounds, that was discouraging to me, because as I've said to you guys in the past, I feel like that what's going to happen is a lot of Major League caliber players we're never going to see, because if they're not drafted in the first five rounds, the most you can sign for after that is $20,000, and I feel like that there are going to be a lot of players, would-be players, who are going to say, $20,000 is not a lot, I better go work for my dad. I better go get a job because my family's hurting right now. I better go do something else. And I know that there are a lot of people at the team level who feel the same way, and they were really upset with the way this draft has been set up.
You know, Buster, if the new normal is where the media can't really go to games because you can't have access to the players, you got to, let's say you have to watch it on TV and
yeah,
then and do it that way, would you move back to the farm? Would you just move back to Vermont or what?
No, Mike, because I got my son, who's a sophomore in high school, down here in New York. And so, you know, he right now sort of would be the priority. But it's funny you say that. Actually, you know, I've told you guys to go to Lake George for an extended period. We're kind of like, I wonder if we could, you know, go longer if there's no baseball. That all said, I do think you're going to see baseball. You know, at the very least, you could see the commissioner try to ram a system down the throat of the players. I hope it doesn't come to that, because I think there would be, as we talked about, a lot of passive aggressiveness, a lot of Ferris Buellering, a lot of guys skipping out, finding reasons not to participate.
Yep.
They're really, the sport so desperately needs a collaborative solution as they whenever they find it.
Buster, we were talking a few minutes before we got you on about the landscape of media relations with players once baseball does start back up. Are we looking at everybody standing 10 feet away from the players? And, I mean, how is this going to work as far as the logistics of post-game interviews and things like that?
Yeah, I think there are going to be a lot of Zoom calls. You know, there might be a situation like you see, and I'm speculating on this part, you know, at some point maybe you see like you do in the White House briefings where you see reporters far away, and they're socially distanced. But I don't think there's any doubt that you're going to see less in-person media coverage. The players are certainly not going to be, let's face it, if their concerns about keeping the players healthy, they're certainly going to want to keep them away from reporters. And I'm sure that the news organizations are also going to be dealing with the same questions of liability that you know, the Major League Baseball is. Because if you send a reporter into a situation where they might get sick, then if something happens, who's liable, et cetera, I'm sure that's going to be a play for some of the news organizations.
Buster, something coming down the line. We talked about this a couple days ago. I have no sympathy for people suspended for domestic violence, but if the season doesn't happen or starts late or whatever, is Domingo Germán going to get credit for this time off, his time served for the Yankees? Because it does feel unfair that he could miss a year and a half or something when he was supposed to only miss 60 games.
Oh, gosh, I knew the answer to this 3 months ago for sure. I'm pretty sure that he gets credit for time served.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm 99.9% sure that's the case. I remember, you know, looking into that. There are a couple things. Maybe that's for the PED guys, but there are, gosh, I'm trying to, I just hadn't thought about it in a few months now, because that was something that we were talking about back in March, and now that we're actually closer, we have to figure that out. Boy, I tell you what, I will get that answer to you.
Okay.
Nice. He's Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider. Buster, stay safe. Hopefully next week we'll have some good news. We'll be talking about when baseball's coming back.
I think we will. I think by the time we talk next week, there'll be an agreement, or there'll be a resolution, I should say, and you hope that it's an agreement. You hope it's cooperation, collaboration, because, boy, oh, boy, no sport needs it more now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's for sure. Yeah. Thanks, Buster.
Thank you.
Thanks, Buster.
See you guys.
Take care. Buster only, everybody.
There you go.